Kiriji closes out this season of It's Commonly Jazz on August 27th and promises to be more of a gathering than a performance. The evening will be modeled after an ancient Nigerian festival filled with dancing, proverbs, and the story of a 16-year civil war fought among the Yoruba people of what is now southwestern Nigeria. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about Kiriji and what those in attendance can expect are drummer, filmmaker, and producer Yemi Oyedarin. Welcome back, Yemi.
Hey.
University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, Professor of Musicology, Joshua Kurobo. Thanks for being here, Joshua.
Good to be here.
And It's Commonly Jazz Executive Director, Alice Frazier. Thanks for being here, Alice.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yemi, your family comes from...
Okay, Messi.
Yes.
Yeah.
The town where this war began.
Yeah.
When did you first hear the story of this war and who told it to you?
I grew up hearing this story almost every year. My father would bore every member of our family to death with it.
You say it in a loving way, I'm sure.
So loving. Yeah. So loving. I remember just like, you know, being like 16 or 17 was like, again. But no, this is a story I grew up hearing that we would usually around Christmas time or when we'd have gatherings or funerals. My father, my uncles would gather everybody around the compound and we would just, they would just tell the story. Some would do it more dramatically. My dad would do it very academically. He was a professor of engineering, so he was very much a nerd. But yeah, I grew up hearing this story on the regular. It's kind of like the town's big story.
What does Kiriji mean?
It is it's an onomatopoeia, if we can use the big SAT words. It's how they describe the echo of rifles around the hills. So this is it's like a mountain region. Mm. In that region, we were having two warring sides and you would hear the sound of the rifles and the echo of the rifles. And they would describe it as Kiriji is the way they described it. And that's what the war became to be known as.
Why name a concert after the sound of gunfire?
That's a very good question. When we think about drums and we think about the thundering noises that it makes, very often the sound of gunfire also is kind of can be used to simulate the same type of thing. I wanted to find a way of describing a history in a way that could be related to people. You know, in a lot of American history, we have it very centered around war-based education. And I wanted to take something similar to that, that people would be able to understand it from a historic perspective by centralizing around this conflict, but then also using it as a cautionary tale. It's a cautionary tale of togetherness, but it's also an explanation of like what happens when people can come together and do things. And I wanted to centralize the story around that and the effect and the onomatopoeia was just too enticing of a name to avoid.
Well, Joshua, what's your role in this whole piece and what did you know about this history coming into it?
I'm more or less, almost like a griot or like a central or main storyteller for this. And actually, before I spoke with Yemi, I didn't know too much about the conflict. Maybe I had heard of a conflict between those in Ekiti, one part of southwestern Nigeria, and those in Ibadan. But this was the first time that I heard of this war in its totality. And, you know, I was just honored to be able to help Yemi bring it together.
How did you and Yemi start working together? And what was the first conversation about this concert like?
Oh, see, that's actually a funny question. So Yemi actually reached out to me when I was in Nigeria. So I was in Nigeria for a lot of this last month, so July and then early August. But he reached out to me with this wonderful idea. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe I should investigate a little bit more about the war. How are we going to make this thing work or make that thing work? But ever since I came back, maybe like 2 weeks ago, we've been working on things together to make sure that, the script and the music go together in a way that will hopefully bring audiences to a place of reflection and meditation.
Alice, how does a Yoruba war epic fit what the series has built at Season Good? And what made you say yes to this piece?
Two things. One, Yemi was part of a major celebration creating some original jazz compositions a few years ago. And the theme this year is about the heart and soul. And that whole notion of the evolution of how we bring forth the hearts and soul. And sitting on the hillside at Season Good Pavilion is where your heart and soul can be restored. And this music about how you can be reflective and deal with conflict, but drumming. What's an essential instrument in jazz? The drums. So the heartbeat goes quite well with the drum, and the soulful story, which is, if it's a cautionary tale, where do you choose for your heart and soul's best? Mm. So perfect fitting for a grand finale.
Yeah. One of the things that we did in structuring the story is to center it around a festival, the Ain Le Festival, which was when the conflict began. And that festival is really powerful. It's an opportunity to honor your ancestors, which is what we're going to be doing with this concert. People can bring libations, people, whatever way that you traditionally honor your ancestors, please bring that. And we wanted to kind of create an environment that it was for the audience. You know, very often you have performances where everybody's staring at the virtuosic performances on stage, which will still probably happen. But this was more about being able to take people to a place where they can honor their ancestors, where they can prepare themselves for the next seasons of their lives by really centralizing around this idea of togetherness. And we're using jazz and all these other styles of music, Nigerian music, as a context to be able to set, facilitate this for people.
Can you tell us more about this war and how it began, how the conflict began?
Yeah, so it began when, as Joshua was mentioning, the Yoruba people at the end of the empire, as the empire was kind of falling apart, fell into what is similar to a lot of Greek city-states. So when you saw a lot of competition between Athens and Sparta, we had very similar ones in Yoruba land. So at this time, the Ibadan people, which Ibadan is now the largest town in Africa, it is the largest town by population in Africa. But during this time, they were subjugating other areas in Yoruba land. One of their areas was my ancestral home. Finally, somebody in the town, the prince of the town, decided that he'd had enough. He organized some people. They decided that they were going to resist this insurgent group. That resistance for that insurgent group lasted for 16 years. Hmm.
So Alice had mentioned how this performance will give people an opportunity to be reflective and think about dealing with conflict. How was this war resolved? How did it end?
Well, so the interesting part of this is that it wasn't resolved until the British came. And this is a very passionate subject for all Nigerians. Joshua is taking a very deep breath. because at the end of this war, it ended up being a Pyrrhic victory. Because what ended up happening was the British came in to resolve the struggle. And that led to British conquest, which ended in 1961. Mm. The part that I wanted people to take away from is that what you had were two groups of people that were closely related. Their struggle ended up exposing their underbelly for a foreign party to take over. And that's kind of the thing that I always kind of want Americans in this time, or Cincinnatians, to kind of keep in mind. Like, as you attack other Americans, you're just exposing ourselves for some other party to be able to manipulate or control us or do something. And this also applies to within your family, within your workplace. If you're attacking another coworker, you're just making it a lot harder for a competitor outside of your company to come in. And these are the types of takeaways that we want people to walk away with from understanding the story of struggle.
In a friendlier way of putting that analogy, you know, when Ohio State and Michigan are fighting one another.
Is that,
you know,
friendly, though? Is that friendly?
Well, you just graduated from the University of Michigan. But, this is a bone that we had
to work out. But in that sense, right, an Indiana University might come and take the crown from both of you. And so, this is a playful way of getting at the same thing. But when you're more alike than different with somebody else, and yet you forget that there's a larger threat that might be around, then you can fall prey to that. So,
okay. Well, we are talking about Kiriji, which will be performed August 27th to close out this season of It's Commonly Jazz. Well, Joshua, this performance features talking drum. What is a talking drum, and how does the music score kind of bring the talking drum tradition into conversation with jazz harmony?
A talking drum is just this basically two-faced drum, and it has these like sinew, usually from a goat, that you can manipulate under your, you know, between your body and kind of like the inside of your arm, so that you can make it talk in a way. And I love the connection that it has to Yoruba culture, particularly when it comes to language, because just like, you know, in music, you can say do, re, mi, right? And just like in Yoruba culture, you have do, re, and mi. The drum can also play those tones. And so that's really the way in which it has this larger connection to Yoruba culture and can speak in a sense. And the way that it really underscores this sort of production that we're putting together is that, at least with call and response, it really ties things together, because as somebody can say something, it can also be played on the drum or brought to attention in that way. But even when these guys are playing, Yemi, Zaire, and is it Brandon, if I'm not mistaken?
Brandon Meeks. And then we also have Josh Strange, the great Josh Strange,
is
going to be there as well.
Exactly. And Andy.
Andy Smith. And then Bud Fairbanks is, and then Michael Osodono, who is also from Nigeria as well, will be joining us on guitar.
Okay, awesome. But in that, you know, it's really nice because I can play the drum. I can add a textural element there, whether I'm following with Yemi, who will be playing the drums, or other sorts of, instruments there. Because, you know, while it is like a rhythmic sort of element, it can be harmonic. It can be melodic. It can play scales as much as it can emulate speech. So while they're playing, I'll also just be there with certain songs adding this extra textural element.
Yeah. Can you give us a little demonstration?
Oh, yeah, I can. Do I? Awalagba, awalagba, adie funfun lagba, adie awalagba. So a literal translation of this is that it's basically talking about a chicken. So awalagba is what you would call an older respected elder. So you say awalagba, older respected elder, that adie funfun lagba, adie, basically that this white chicken is more, not to say other chickens are not good, everybody likes chicken, but that this pure white chicken is better or more respected over the other chickens. Awalagba. And so basically, usually like when an elder or somebody respected is walking by, if I'm playing this and they know what to listen for, they'll know that the person that is playing the drum is respecting them or honoring them in a way. And so, I mean, as Yemi will tell you, Yoruba culture is one where you need to give honor to your elders and other people. And so I feel like it's also in a tradition of that.
Edie Fufu is like the finest of the chicken.
Exactly.
Like, and like, yeah, it's like a big thing. Like, yeah.
Number one chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. We had one when I was a kid and it bit me, like it beaked me. And I remember like 2 days later when like my mom served that for our guest, it was like the best chicken I've ever had in my life.
Yes.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Now, Yemi, Joshua mentioned call and response. Is there a way you can help demonstrate kind of call and response with the talking?
Yeah, so like there's easy things that we could do. Let's take a nice, in Yoruba, I would like introduce myself like Oruko mi ni Okpe Yemi, so we can just say something like Okpe Yemi, my name. Okpe Yemi. So like, yeah, and we could even do something like the town that my family's from, Okimesi. So you can see that like it mimics you. So like the way I used to take, my parents used to give me drumming lessons when I was a kid. They'd hire drummers to come. And what they would do is, I'm not a morning person, and they would come at like 7 o'clock in the morning and they'd be like jamming. And then my cousins would come and be like, can't you hear them saying your name? And be like, oh, okay, yeah, me. And I'm like, oh God, why?
That's literally the coolest way to be woken up that I've ever heard in my life.
It was an interesting way to be woken up. But yeah, and then we'd walk around the town playing drums for like the entire day and just like saying people's names.
Right. And even what I was playing there was Baba ni babaje, Baba ni babaje, e batakiti, ke forisole. So basically, the father is the head of the household. Even if he falls and hits his head, he is still the head of the household. And so it's nice, like when you learn how to play the drum, you're also learning more about the language, you're learning proverbs, you're learning more about this rich sort of oral history, right? So not to say, again, many wonderful literates, Yoruba people that know how to read and to write, but you're talking about a rich cosmopolitan culture of people who didn't write anything down, but it was all preserved through these sorts of traditions. And so it's good to be able to take part in this event with that sort of central role.
Alice, where does this performance sit in the kind of arc of the season's lineup?
It is truly our grand finale to close out our 42nd season at the Season Good Pavilion. It all takes place at Eden Park. The concert will start at 6, go until 8-ish. But an hour beforehand, there's food, there's drink, there's beverages in the backstage area that's been dubbed the back porch. And then there's free parking throughout. Our fans at Cincinnati Art Museum have allowed us to park there, along with Playhouse in the Park. So it's just a grand way to close out coming together and the power of music to create community.
Yeah. Joshua, some of the musical influences we might hear in the performance are high life, juju, and Afro beats. How do the musicians borrow from each?
Yeah, the musicians draw from certain traditions, like when high life, you might hear like the, what do we call, like the Tresillo rhythm. So the... And of course, you'll hear Yemi kind of accenting these things on the drums while other musicians kind of play or improvise over those sorts of things. Also thinking about Afrobeat as well. Like, so, you know, this is the music of Fela Kuti. You'll hear these wonderful horn snatches, right? Very like tight, intricate lines. You won't hear any particular like, you know, changes when it comes to harmony. But, you know, Fela like to stay in kind of like these static harmonies to get people to think about and reflect upon some of these heavier topics that he was, you know, thinking about and also playing around with. And then even with Afrobeats, there's no way that you'll miss the distinctive sort of digital audio production that Zaire and others kind of add to this. So under their own, you know, playing, you will definitely hear some stuff that they're doing with the DAW, so the digital audio workstation. And so I just think it's a wonderful fusion of all of these sorts of musical ideas, bringing something that is definitely contemporary, definitely new, but drawing upon some of the same shared traditions that we all have as part of the Black Atlantic.
The score is original music by Yemi, Brandon Scott Coleman, and Zaire Sherman. So, Joshua, what can you tell us about the writing process and where you kind of sit in that sound of the score?
Usually, as I've been able to hear and experience the music that they've outlaid for certain meditations, Yemi and I have gone over these certain parts of the text and make sure that, well, let us actually reflect upon these things, whether we're thinking about our ancestors, thinking about a certain moment, still reflecting on this larger idea of Kiriji and this story of brother fighting brother, sister fighting sister, sibling fighting sibling, and use that as, a cautionary tale to take us to a better place. And so there's not one particular style of music of which it falls into to say, okay, well, this is the way in which we're reflecting. But as I've been able to listen to the music, it gives you just this wonderful mosaic of Southwestern Nigeria and of a lot of the sounds that shape certain locales. So yes, we might be in Ekiti at one point in time. We might pass by Ibadan, but we'll also go to Lagos State and these other locales. And you'll hear things that, you know, maybe were common to hear throughout the 20th century while we're taking no stops.
Alice, the It's Commonly Jazz crowd is famously loyal. What do you want a first-timer walking up the hillside on the 27th to know?
Number one, they've come home. They've come home to the heart and soul of why this is a 42-year tradition that is so rooted in community and neighborhoods. Started off at Swift and Commons, old mall that's no longer there, but it's only had two homes, Swifton and Season Good. And being outdoors, being able to gather with folks who you don't know, but you leave with folks who become family. So it's, we call it the last night for the summer reunion.
Well, and you mentioned 42 years. I mean, that's longer than any free summer series in the city. What do you think has kept it alive for all those years?
It's been kept alive by the people. It's been kept alive by the vision of a phenomenal woman named Carolyn Wallace.
Ms. Wallace is amazing.
The creative founder. So you may hear why we'll be dropping a libation in her honor. Cat's out the bag now. Because it's her vision that's allowed and passing the baton on to me, to Mainstay. And this season's been rooted in why makes the Cincinnati music scene so vibrant and literally global. We had folks who came from Jordan to come enjoy this jazz show just this past week. And so it literally has positioned Cincinnati as a place to attract great musicians, great musicologists, and really just keep this a vital, vibrant community.
So, Yemi, what should someone who's never heard a word of Yoruba listen for on Thursday night?
I think that they should listen to their inner voice. That's the place that I'm trying to get you to connect to with this. Being able to listen to that thing that drives you. And that's also one of the things I find so interesting about the location is at Seasongood Pavilion, the way that we govern our city is so influenced by what Murray Seasongood did. You know, having a place where we can honor our ancestors, our city's ancestors at Seasongood Pavilion is an amazing and powerful opportunity. And I want people to come with their past, come with their own past, come with the city's past, come prepared to reflect on yourself and how you got here and how we all got to the place of where we were at the Seasongood Pavilion. And I really can't think of a better place to be able to do it.
I like to say it almost becomes a restorative experience.
That is what we're
aiming for. So that you're like, summer may be gone or winding down, but I'm falling into something pretty amazing, and they get to choose.
And you get to prepare yourself for that next season. And that's what this whole thing, which is why I structured it around the ritual that we do in Nigeria. And I also was influenced by Judaism, because this is also done during the holy holidays. I really got to interact with a lot of my Jewish friends to be able to help kind of figure out how to celebrate this. It is something that is deep and something that's, it's almost primal. Every culture does this. And so being able to come to do this at Seasongood for It's Commonly Jazz is just an incredible opportunity.
Well, I think that's beautiful. I have been talking with drummer, filmmaker, and producer Yemi Oyedarin, University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music Professor of Musicology Joshua Karobo, and It's Commonly Jazz Executive Director Alice Frazier. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This was an honor.
Kiriji will be performed from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, August 27th at Seasongood Pavilion in Eden Park. It will be free and open to the public. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.
So let's do Parakbo.
Okay,
so just set with a groove, and then I'll be like, Barakbo, ba-da-da, Barakbo, da-da-da. We'll just do that.
Okay.
And is this going to be the experience you're going to have?
Barakbo.
Oh, Barakbo, Barakbo.
This war was also, like, internally, we call it the Ekiti Barakbo War. So it's loosely translated as the people of Ekiti united. So one of the things that we want for this is to kind of have this sense of being united. And we're going to have the audience chant the word Barakbo. Joshua would be, for example, say, Barakbo. And we'll just, Barakbo. Let's do it together. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Barakbo. 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 So being able to have what I really want to have is a hillside of people in my language shouting the word united or unity, because that's really what I want. And that's why we're ending that way, because I want us, the people of Cincinnati, the people of our communities, to leave this event that has touched our hearts and our soul. And we've really gotten time to meditate and focus on our ancestors, to walk away united and walk away looking for ways to be united with others. Africa, now the that's one. Now him they make me laugh. Austerity, austerity, austerity. Austerity. Now the latest one. Austerity. Now him they make me laugh. Austerity.